Like major sources of foreign exchange, there can be major outflows of foreign exchange. Like we saw, exports being the number one source of foreign exchange, similarly imports of goods and services become a major outflow of foreign exchange. When we talk in terms of imports that are useful for production could be beneficial for a country, but imports which simply takes away the foreign currency to the foreign country, and that imports are not as much useful for production. Like we have seen certain examples of people importing gold just for storing in their houses or lockers, that is not coming in for production purpose. However, the money, the Indian rupee, is going out, and that influences the foreign exchange rate, but the output is not in the form of production, and such imports may be detrimental for the foreign exchange in the long run. Likewise, another important outflow of foreign exchange can be loan repayment and the debt servicing obligations. Any loan that is taken from a foreign country for a foreign bank that needs to be repaid, both the EMIs as well as the interest in foreign currencies. So this is applicable for both the persons or the individuals as well as for businesses purposes. Likewise, when we make investments into our different assets that are permitted under the current account transactions or the capital account transactions, the investments involves outflow of foreign currency, and this are to a certain extent regulated when it comes to capital account transactions. We will see this in our subsequent chapters. Then other remittances from the country, such as the profit remittances of multinational corporations and foreign exchange for travel abroad, also are an important outflow of foreign exchange. In some previous slides, I have mentioned about the factors that are affecting the foreign exchange. This slide specifically brings out those factors. Like, foreign exchange is a direct function of balance of payment of a country. When we saw balance of payment, this is specifically depending upon the trade, that is import and exports. If there is a high export, it will be a favorable balance of payment. However, if you have a high import, the debt servicing will be very high, and that will be having a deficit balance of payment. Inward remittances can improve the balance of payment, and hence international trade becomes a very, very important factor for deciding whether the balance of payment is favorable or not favorable for a country. There are different other factors which we have seen, like higher interest rates will improve the foreign currency as well as the balance of trade. Then economic stability will improve the balance of payment because the exports will be more than the imports. If there is a good political stability, the government is stable, whether it is elected or otherwise, then the major things that are happening in the economy will be actually doing more and more better. That will again create a balance of trade. If there are lesser interference by the government, like there are not so high import duties, then that factor can have a reasonable imports. At the same time, the exports would be high. This also will create a favorable balance of payments. Then whenever there are certain interventions required by the agencies such as central bank to ensure that the foreign currency rate does not go higher, this also will ensure a stable or a positive balance of payments. So there can be different factors that can affect the foreign exchange. So it will be purely depending upon from which angle we are looking into, whether it's for personal, whether it's for business, or whether it is a transaction between two different countries. Balance of payment is simply the balance of receipts and payments of foreign exchange. So when we talk about receipts and payments, these are specifically in terms of exports and imports. When can there be an adverse balance of payment? Obviously, when the total receipts exceeds the total payments. When can there be a positive balance of payments? When the total receipts exceeds the total payment. Balance of payment has a very important role in generation of foreign exchange. What does balance of payment simply means? It's a balance of receipts and payments of foreign exchange. When there are more receipts, it will be a positive balance of payment. When there are higher payments, it will bring to an adverse balance of payments. So what does an adverse balance of payment mean? Total payments exceed the total receipts. Likewise, what does a positive balance of payment means? Total receipts exceeds the total payments. And when we talk in terms of balance of payments, this is divided into current account and capital account. And we'll see more details about what a current account is and what a capital account is. So when we talk about current account specifically involves those transactions which does not involve exchange of assets. It can deal with the trade of goods and services. It can be in terms of the income, like in terms of dividends, or it can be simply some transfers, unilateral transfers, or transfers done by the non-resident Indians from abroad to our country. The prime transactions coming under the current account are the merchandise trades, which comprise of export and import of goods. Then certain invisibles, which comprise of current international payments for items other than merchandise. This also comes in the form of current account transactions. For example, the travel, transportation, interest, dividend payments, etc. When is the current account surplus generated? Same way, when the receipts are higher than the payments, a current account surplus is generated, and obviously a current account surplus would improve the foreign exchange reserves. Like we said, the current account transactions does not deal with actual change of assets. It does with majorly with the trade and other certain invisibles, such as your dividends and the income payments or the transfers. Capital account specifically deals with the change in the assets, transfers on accounts of external borrowings, repayments of external borrowings, investments, loans. All this will come under capital accounts. So when obviously the receipt side is more, it will have a capital surplus. So external borrowings and disinvestment exceeds the repayment and investments, that would be a capital account surplus. Similarly, when the loan repayments and investments exceeds the borrowings and inflows of foreign currency into our country, that would be a capital account deficit. Capital account deficit could be set off by the current account surplus, and hence it is very important that your current account and capital account has to be balanced in such a way that your overall capital foreign exchange reserves are maintained into surplus, definitely not into deficit. Now we come to the different players in the foreign exchange market. As I said, the largest player in the foreign exchange market are the commercial banks. When we talk about commercial banks, they actually deal in foreign exchange for their customers as well as for their own. When we talk commercial banks for their own, this is specifically when they deal in the interbank markets, and you will be surprised to note most of the banks who deal in foreign exchange have over 50% of their profit generated from this foreign exchange business, and this specialized business is done by the treasury departments. Some of the large corporates have also established highly sophisticated with high technology foreign exchange dealing rooms with sophisticated or specialized softwares, and that's how they take advantage of this 24 hours volatile market across the world. But one has to note that there is no separate market for foreign exchange. We'll see this in our subsequent chapters on foreign exchange market, the players are connected with telecommunication lines or these platforms through which the deal gets established as well as the settlement happens. Buyers and sellers could be connected on these platforms, and based on that, the banks would actually make the payments or receive the payments in foreign exchange for their exporters and importers. So when we talk in terms of the various players, I just told you about the commercial banks. Besides commercial banks, the central bank as well as the government can also be a very important player in the foreign market. There can be other players in the foreign market like the brokers, who actually does not directly deal, but they actually bring together the buyers and sellers, they get their commission, and then they put them across the channel, which is the authorized dealers. There can be different types of traders, like the speculators, like the people involved in arbitrage, that is actually taking advantage of the foreign currency rates between different markets and doing a deal. There can be certain investors also who can be actually playing in the foreign markets. Like, they may not be interested in making immediate profits, but they have a call that the foreign currency of a particular country will rise over a period of time, and based on that, they will keep invested and they would like to take the profit at the right time. There can be also market makers who actually commit the buying and selling, which provides liquidity to the market. There can be various technology providers who actually provide softwares and the hardwares for dealing in foreign exchange. So based on that, we can have different players of foreign exchange market. That brings us to an important point into foreign exchange as to who can deal in foreign exchange. In our country, only and only those persons who are licensed to undertake foreign exchange activity are authorized to deal in foreign exchange. And who provides this license? None other than the Reserve Bank of India. The Reserve Bank of India issues licenses to the banks, to the NBFCs, to the money changers. However, the category of the licenses can be different. Like, when we talk about the license, whoever gets a license to deal in foreign exchange, they are called as the authorized dealers. And these authorized dealers can have different categories. Like, the topmost category is category one, who are allowed to deal in all type of transactions, whether it's spot transaction, whether it's forward transactions, whether it is a derivative transactions. They can open foreign exchange accounts, they can open the NRI accounts, they can open the FCNR accounts, and they can do the entire dealings in foreign exchange. However, certain restrictions are put on the later category, that is category 2, category 3, and category 4. The category 4 being the money changers. These are specifically the travel agents who are given restricted licenses specifically to buy and sell small quantities of foreign exchange on behalf of their customers. They are not allowed to buy, sell on their own account, but they have to deal or they have to open an account with the category 1, mostly the banks, and they actually can take or offload or take their positions in foreign exchange with the category 1 players. So the NBFCs similarly are also given certain restricted licenses for dealing in foreign exchange, not as restricted as money changers, but when we talk in terms of category 1 are mostly the commercial banks, and based on the specific permissions given, the category gets percolated downwards to category 2, category 3, and category 4. How does RBI provide license to authorized dealers? This is specifically on the basis of their financial acumen, based on the compliances, specifically dealing with the KYC regulations, the AML regulations, and the directions they follow the capital requirements they have, and the overall consideration is taken by RBI to grant the authorized dealer's license. Authorized dealers become very important in foreign exchange market because they provide liquidity to individuals as well as the businesses for dealing in foreign exchange, whether the transaction is going to happen today in the spot market or in the future market with the forwards or the futures or the sophisticated contracts such as the options or the swaps. So friends, with this we reach a conclusion of chapter 1. What have we learned in this chapter? Basically, foreign exchange is a currency of another country. Every country has its own currency, and based on the transactions, based on the rate of conversion of one currency into another, a deal gets established. It is very important for international trade and commerce, especially when there is an exchange of goods and services. For the goods purchased from another country, payment has to be made in a currency that is acceptable to the seller. Similarly, foreign currency is obtained by the export of goods, loans, and inward remittances. We have seen various factors that influence the foreign exchange. We have also seen various players in the foreign exchange market, as well as the different types of authorized dealers in the foreign exchange market. Foreign currency is utilized to make the payments for goods, loan repayments, and investments. We have seen the direct connection of foreign exchange with the balance of trade, and the balance of trade basically is based on the current account and the capital account transactions. Foreign exchange is influencing the balance of trade through the capital account and current account transactions. So with this, we complete this chapter, and we'll move on to the next chapter to understand more details about the foreign exchange. Thank you.